Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Comedians Talking About Football. I am your host, comedian and long-suffering Reading FC fan, Sam Michael. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the most self-explanatory podcast out there, where each episode of Comedians Talking About Football, we have a comic who does just that. They talk about the lows, they talk about the highs, they talk about the overpriced pies and pretty much everything else that comes with supporting a football club. Today's guest is an Arsenal fan and he is young. Literally, he is so young in many, many, many ways. He's not that young. Chill out. His name is Ollie Young. Brilliant young act from Bath. Making a name for himself in the Southwest and beyond. And he's an Arsenal FC fan, as I said. And he is literally young. I mean, I know the average age of this podcast are kind of like mid to late 30s. There's a reason for that. It's kind of a nostalgia podcast, of course. This guy is too young, I've said it again, to remember the Invincible season. So you cannot accuse him of being a Glory supporter. But we had a lovely chat. He's a really funny guy, and let's just cut straight to it. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you enjoy this episode, why not go back and listen to some previous episodes? We've had lots of Arsenal episodes now, featuring the likes of Jamie De Souza and Jacob Hawley, and we've also got a future guest on as well, Katie Price. No, not that one. Comic and Arsenal fan in a couple of weeks' time as well. So I'm trying my best to not make this a comedy Arsenal podcast, but so far they are 4-0 up. I think they're even beating Man United at this point. Anyway, look, let's get straight into it. This is Ollie Young and he's talking all things Arsenal FC.
Football. Soccer. At the end of the day, football, it's a funny old game.
It's a game of two hours.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Ollie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, thank you, Sam. How are you?
Very well. Fresh-faced young comedian, up and comer. When did you start comedy?
2021, September 2021, I started doing stand-up.
So you started 2 years after this podcast even started?
Yeah.
How about that? Oh, actually, a year. Nearly 2 years after the podcast started. But yeah, so welcome. Great to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I'll be honest, I haven't been an avid listener, but I've seen people come on and I have thought, like, I want to talk about football.
Brilliant. Nothing better than when a guest starts by saying they've never listened to the...
I thought I'd be honest. I didn't want to be like, yeah, I listen to every episode, and you'd be like, oh, did you enjoy this one? And me go, yeah.
Well, to be fair, I did catch someone out on a previous episode where I said, oh, so I'll do this thing now where I, and if you've listened to it before, they went, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I knew exactly as I started to explain it, they didn't have a clue what I was talking about.
See, I didn't want to do that. I don't want to fake it till I make it. Just be awkward.
Well, I can't be mad because I've kept you waiting loads tonight. Isn't it amazing that in 2024 I'm still struggling with Zoom technology? I need to stop. I need to catch up with proper podcasts. With like, I had Freddie Quinn on here, right? And he's obviously a great podcaster. Like, got this amazing podcast. And he's just, as soon as I came on the screen, I was like, "You ready for hit record?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." As soon as I hit record, he's like, "Why are we doing a fucking podcast on Zoom in 20 fucking 22? What the fuck are we doing? We're not in lockdown. We could have met up for this." And that's true. I was partly thinking of on the gig we did recently, thinking, "Oh, if we get there early, whatever." But I think that ship has sailed now. I'm not going to get a studio for this shit. I'm just going to keep it online. If it's good enough for Rob Brydon, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, and also for me, I went to uni during COVID anyway, so things like Zoom calls, I'm used to this. I could do this.
Well, that makes you feel really old, thinking you're at bloody uni then. Fair play, mate. Well, I found out for a mutual friend of ours, avid listener of the podcast, Owen Dodds. He's angry because I always bring up his shit takes on football throughout episodes. I can't wait for my Euro 2024 special where I get to bring up the fact that he was adamant that Jordan Henderson was a world-class player.
No, he's always been very good at like shuffling, box the box and get the ball and give it to someone else. He's not. No. He's not world class.
At the time he said that, he wasn't even breaking into the first team, I don't think, of Liverpool. So, you know. Anyway, look, we're not here to talk about Liverpool. We're here to talk about Arsenal.
Yes.
Which, funnily enough, is the first ever episode we did of Comedians Talking About Football with Jacob Hawley talking about Arsenal. We've had a few Arsenal fans on since. Lots of Arsenal listeners, so it all works out fine. So, as ever, to break the ice, we start with some quickfire questions. Ollie, you're an Arsenal fan.
Yes.
How old were you when you became a fan?
Probably like 3 or 4, I reckon. So during the, because my dad's dad was born and raised in Islington in North London, and then my mum's dad was born and raised in Liverpool. So I had a choice, and I chose wrong, but. I made my choice and I've stuck with it. And I started becoming, basically when I could sort of process thought, I started liking football. And it happened to be during the I don't remember the Invincible season, but it was probably during then. So I'm not, I don't exactly remember the heights because I was 3 or 4, but around that time.
Okay. So interesting that this might have a bit of a tricky question I'd like to ask this one, which is, are the Invincibles team better or worse than the 1999 Man United treble winning team?
Well, I mean, as someone who didn't watch either of them, too young to remember either of them, I would say, I mean, in the treble winning United team, that was Neville, Beckham, Solskjaer. That was at the Solskjaer 2 goals against Munich.
That's
final.
It. Yeah, that was the United final. Yeah.
Well, I mean, while I do love the Invincibles, like they lost to Chelsea in the Champions League, so you kind of have to say that United treble winning side probably are better.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But I, of course, I'm going to say the Invincibles. I still think is like top three achievements in the Premier League.
Fair enough, but to be fair, he was too young to watch. What year were you born, Ollie?
2000.
Wow.
Am I the first post 20th century?
Possibly, actually, yeah. I mean, when people tell me they're born in 2000 and they're not a toddler, it really confuses me.
Bristol Comedy Chess. I was the youngest winner of that at like 21, And then my friend Eli, who is 19, won it like 2 months later. So if you get him on in 2 months, I'll be really annoyed. A, because he's younger than me and he's done it twice. And B, he doesn't even like football. So that would be more annoying.
Yeah, that would be. I've had some people who asked to come on who aren't football fans. And I'm like, why? And they go, it'll be funny. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like the joke will go after a minute. And then anyone who listens to this who's actually got interest in football might get a little bit sick of it. But okay, that is interesting. So what's the earliest memory you have then of Arsenal?
Probably I remember watching when the Champions League was on like ITV. I remember watching I think it was Arsenal versus Braga or something, and I remember watching Fabregas like limp to take a penalty. I remember that. That's probably my first proper memory. Fabregas, Walcott, Van Persie, that sort of era of Arsenal is probably my first real memories.
And of course, as it's an Arsenal fan, listeners, those of you who are fans of the podcast know it's my excuse to bring up the fact that I have once played football with Theo Walcott at AFC Newbury.
Have you?
Of course I have, yes. Back in the day, AFC Newbury. We were in different years and I hardly even played for AFC Newbury. I went to a few practice sessions. But at some point, yes, I did play on the same pitch as him when he was playing up front with Brad Sinclair Jones, who I used to work with at Next, at a retail park near Reading. So they are different.
I feel like that Next is like, it's almost like the Carphone Warehouse in Extras, but for people playing football, yeah. By the sounds of it.
Well, interesting story, actually. He used to, he had an older brother, Theo, who a lot of people put pressure on. And it's interesting, really, that Theo Walcott kind of became the professional footballer because his older brother seemed to be the one who kind of the local press praised a lot more. There seemed to be quite a lot of focus on him. Another guy I worked with at Next, I won't say his name, but he played with his older brother and was quite friendly with him and was quite friendly with the family.
Yeah.
Anyway, around the time that Theo Walcott got picked for the 2006 World Cup squad, his whole family came into the store once. They went into the furniture department, started looking at things. And everyone was like, oh, no, Theo Walcott and his family. Oh, Theo Walcott and his family. And this mate of mine was giving it all Billy Big Bollocks, going, oh, yeah, I know them. I know them. Yeah. I know the family really, really well. I know his dad. Yeah, he's really, really nice. So he goes up to his dad. I forgot his dad's name. But he goes up to him and he basically says, you know, oh, Mr. Walcott, how's it going, mate? And Mr. Walcott just went, no, we're just looking, thanks. Just an absolute
that's so embarrassing.
Not one of the family acknowledged him. It was painful. You don't remember Thierry Henry then?
Not really, no. I remember the only thing I remember about Thierry Henry is on FIFA 07, I made my own team on FIFA 07, called it Young Boys, because that's my last name, without knowing that a team already exists. And then I annoyed my dad because I transferred Thierry Henry over because I was like, he's good. And my dad was like, now if I play as Arsenal, I can't have Thierry Henry. And I had some weird formation where I had a centre back and a right back, and then everyone else was strikers, basically. And that's my first real memory. There's going to be so many people who have been on who are Arsenal fans who are going to be furious that I don't really have any Thierry Henry memories. But my memories of Thierry Henry are that and him coming on against Leeds in the FA Cup when he came back on loan. Those are my Thierry Henry memories.
Famously,
really.
That's Jacob Hawley's favourite ever memory as an Arsenal fan, funnily enough.
It's up there with mine. Because obviously I never saw him. And just the him coming on, scoring, and then sort of I think it's the commentary. There's like a video you can find of one of the commentaries where it's like, he may be cast in bronze, but he's still capable of producing truly golden moments. And sometimes I just listen to that to be like, yeah. Yeah, football is great.
But yeah, so I've skipped one of my questions because we obviously got into something. As ever, these quick fire questions, they create conversations. But there's one quick fire question I really wanted to get into you, which was on a scale of 1 to 10, One being just smash up your phone, smash up your laptop, smash up your TV every time you see them, to 10, top 10, which is they're bearable. Where do you rate Arsenal Fan TV?
One. One. I hate them. I hate them with a genuinely. I might get angry. I could talk about how much I hate them forever. I can't think. Oh, I'm sure they're nice people. I'm sure, honestly, they're. But the fact that they, for so long, just profited off of us being bad and as fans of Arsenal, which was really weird. And then they drove. They were one of the key things that sort of led to Wenger leaving.
Mm.
They did a weird thing where they managed to paint this picture of Arsenal fans of, and this happened when Unai Emery was there, which is the media had this thing of, oh, well, Arsenal, they sack managers because the fans aren't loyal, which was very strange to me because it's like my whole life I just had Arsene Wenger. So I don't get the idea of we are very loyal. We were very loyal to him for a very long time. And they sort of tainted the fan base. They've created the fan base now, which is this sort of online fan base that's different of these people who, if we win a game, like Liverpool at the weekend, we are now in there. We're going to win the Champions League in the league. That's what they're in their head. But if we lose to West Ham at the weekend, then Arteta should be sacked. We should get rid of everyone because everyone's shit. And just everything should be burned down, start again. Why did we sack Emery? Emery's the best. Like, it's always this weird thing that they've made. And I saw a thing. The thing that annoyed me was when Wenger came back to the Emirates last season, because it took him that long to come back because he just didn't want to, because it was like the way that people had treated him on the way out was horrible.
Mm.
Came back, and I saw an interview, and it was an interview by AFTV with Arsene Wenger. And I just thought, what, they are the people who deserve the least to talk to Arsene Wenger. They're the reason that people villainized him within the Arsenal fan base. And I hate them with a burning passion. I do not like Arsenal Fan TV. I did, however, see Ty from Arsenal Fan TV on a train, the Paddington to Bristol Temple Meads train, a few months ago, and he was wearing the full Arsenal kit. He had the Arsenal headphones on. He had the Arsenal backpack, the hoodie, and I just saw him like stand, because it was a packed train, so I saw him standing up, and I just thought, I thought this was a joke. You actually do this? You actually wear the full thing every time, which is a bit weird. But I can't stand them.
I think you're right about that Arsene Wenger interview. I think it was also pushed as if, like, from their end, that it was going to be, finally, we're going to hold him to account for the disastrous end to his career, which wasn't. You know, at the end of the day, in my personal opinion, I think Arsene Wenger was expected to do, you know, at the time, there was what they called the top four, which was, you know, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United and Arsenal. And it always seemed to me that Arsenal were expected to deliver in competition with those three. But he did. He clearly, if you looked at the facts, they didn't have the right amount of money. You know, that he didn't have as much money as Chelsea, United, or Liverpool. So it was, especially Chelsea, what was going on there at the time, and with Man United. So it was always going to sort of peter out, and eventually the Man City come in and they've got, you know, ultimately a blank checkbook that can just pay for anything. And it became harder and harder and harder, and they slipped further down, and it, you know, it was tough for him. But they still seem to be like, we've got this interview with Arsene Wenger, we're going to, you know, find out what happened. And then when they came on, they seemed nice as pie to him. And it was so just nauseating to watch them do that. And quite blatantly, what had happened is someone had got him onto this show to say, look, it's a podcast, it's very, very popular, loads of Arsenal fans, blah, blah, blah. He probably wasn't even aware of what they were saying.
No, yeah, he probably didn't know. Well, it's also the thing of, if you watch the... And that's a thing with people who support the bigger clubs in the Premier League, this idea that the club is in ruin and things like that. And it's like, no, you finished fifth place in the most competitive league in the world. and your team's still very rich, and you've still that summer spent more money than everyone else. And it's this idea that, oh, we're in ruin, it's horrible. When then you have teams in the lower leagues who, like, their board has ruined them and things like that. And then this idea that if you watch the Arsene Wenger documentary, it's really interesting because he talks about how he could have gone to Real Madrid, France, Barcelona. He could have left in when the stadium was built. But he said that he'll stay until the debt's paid off, because he was told it'd be paid off in like a couple of years, and it ended up, it's still not paid off now, I don't think. They've made took out like a new loan to pay it off. And it's just it's just weird that we've taken the best manager we've ever had, and because he should have gone. It's like he should have gone probably before then. But he didn't, like you say, he didn't have money. He was the only, we were the only club to make a profit over like 20 years in the big teams. And then when he did get given money, don't get me wrong, because he did, at the end, he actually did have some money to spend. He spent it horribly. He spent it loads of money on people like Mustafi and players like that. And it's just, I think the idea that they would get to interview him just doesn't really feel right. I can get why they wouldn't get a former player to do it, because a former player is just going to say how much they love him. But yeah, they're just not fans of them. That's all.
It's interesting what you said there about, you know, it was probably time for him to go, because when I interviewed Jacob Hawley for the podcast, he made this quite a funny point to say, ultimately, all the Arsenal fans should have been united in the thought of it's time to go. But he said that Arsene out, or Wenger out, sorry, was so attached to the Arsenal fan TV brand that it actually put people off Wenger wanting to be sacked.
Yeah, I think it did, because I think it really just made people think, like, because the videos of them talking about it is vile. Like, the way they talk about him is just it's disgusting, because there's videos of them going up to his car and shouting at him, and it's like, he doesn't deserve that. That's ridiculous. And and it's also like half of them now are like in prison for various things anyway. So it's like, they're clearly not the nicest people, and they're sitting there going like, you're ruining my life. And it's like, oh, what, he's ruining your life because we lost at the Allianz Arena again? It's we're going to, because we're against the richest club in Germany, and he's having to go there with Francis Coquelin and people like that. Like, it's going to happen. And the way that they, you are right. I think it was time for him to go, and it should have been more of a, like, a thank you that this is kind of done thing, rather than people acting like they've robbed it. He's robbed them in broad daylight. Yeah. He should be in prison, which is basically the way they acted.
Yeah. I mean, I saw them once recording an episode of Arsenal Fan TV. I've only ever been to one Arsenal game in my life, and that was not the game you might be thinking of, and some of our listeners might be thinking of, and I will bring that up soon, don't you worry. It was a Champions League game back in 2014, and it was against Borussia Dortmund when they were managed by Klopp. And they won 3-0 that night. And I remember we were leaving, and around just before we get to the station, it was quite busy as it was to get out, and then it got really crowded, then it got really rammed, and we realised it was just a group of people surrounded by some guy with a camera and a light, and them doing interviews, and it was Arsenal Fan TV. They're just clogging up the place, and it was just so annoying. And I didn't know what Arsenal Fan TV was at the time. I just went past them. What are these guys doing, these YouTubers or whatever? And then found out what they are afterwards. So that was my first experience of Arsenal Fan TV, was just seeing them record it and just clogging up the tube station, essentially.
Yeah, I think my first experience was just thinking, these people are just a bit, like, they're making me annoyed. They're making me embarrassed to support Arsenal, because they're just, the way they're acting. I remember even as like a teenager. And when you're a teenager, that's when you should be like them. But I remember even then just being like, these are embarrassing. I don't want to be anything, have anything to do with them. And yeah, it was just very, very strange. They kind of put me, I didn't watch Arsenal. I didn't watch his last season, really. And I think part of it was because of them, because I just sort of, everything around it was just like, I don't really want to watch Arsenal right now, because it's just a bit grim.
Yeah, mate. Well, I really don't blame you. So what I do is, on the podcast, So as you may know, if you've listened to any episodes in the past, I like to hit the guest with an emergency fact. As I said, you're not the first Arsenal guest on here, so we have had a few emergency facts, but one that you may know, and it came just after you starting comedy, actually, is around the time you started comedy was the anniversary of Arsenal spending 100 years in the top tier of English football, because they are the only team to never be relegated from the top tier of English football.
Wasn't it Everton? I swear Everton never been either.
Now I'm going to have to double check my fact now, haven't I?
So I think it's Everton and Arsenal. They might have been relegated from the top tier, but...
Let me check my facts. I've never been fact-checked before. Let's have a quick look. Well, according to the allfootballapp.com, Arsenal are the only team still in existence that have never been relegated.
Oh, well, yeah, they're probably right.
Apparently.
I'm pretty sure one of the reasons we got in the top flight is quite scandalous, I think. I'm fairly certain we relegated Tottenham by buying our way into the top division.
Oh, really?
That's partly where the rivalry comes from. We bought our way into the top tier. Like, we paid someone to be like, because I don't even think we were in the promotion space. We were in like fifth or something, but we were like, look, we've got more fans. We can bring money to this league. And we paid someone to promote us, and it made Tottenham get relegated, I think, or something like that. It was something strange like that that is also within the rivalry.
Well, we're going to have to look up this fact now. I'm really worried. Everton ever been relegated? Oh, they've been relegated on two occasions.
Oh, okay.
1887 and 1929. Oh, no. Wait, relegation came in 1930 and 1951.
Okay. I don't know.
Maybe it's just never left the Premier League. People forget
that. I think it probably might be that.
Premier League sometimes. Right then. So, as ever, if I get to do my humble brag about Theo Walcott, the 15 seconds I played on the same pitch of him or near him once. Then I get to also, I have to mention every time I have an Arsenal fan on about one of Arsene Wenger's final great moments, arguably, at the club in the autumn of 2012, when he came back from a 4-0 down, 4-1 down even at half time to win 7-5 against my team.
Yes. Against Reading, yes.
FC. As if I've got to bring it up, it's the worst game of football I've ever watched, in the sense of how heartbroken I was. I genuinely believed it contributed to us getting relegated that season, because it felt like the worry among the team of, even if we go 4-0 up, we might lose this game. What were your memories of that game? Do you remember watching it?
I kind of remember it. I kind of remember it a bit. I definitely remember us being 4-0 down. I remember the Theo Walcott hat-trick, and I remember Shamak. I remember Shamak scoring the winner, because I remember as a kid, for some reason in my head, because Shamak sort of... Marouane Shamak came in when Van Persie got injured. And I remember in my head, for some reason, thinking he was really good. Because me and my dad, because we couldn't afford like Sky or anything, so we'd watch Arsenal like Match of the Day, but we'd only watch when we won. So... lots of the time when we won, he happened to score. So in my head, I was like, Marouane Shamak's this amazing striker. He's not. But I remember him lobbing the keeper from outside the box. I remember that. And I remember that sort of ending the game. I remember my dad being like quite annoyed, because it was like, why do we keep conceding? This shouldn't be happening. And I remember Emi Martinez being in goal, which is it's weird now to think that he was in goal in that game, and he was like a third choice goalkeeper. And he's gone on to be renowned as one of the best keepers in the world at the moment.
Well, let's not forget that he sat on the bench at Arsenal for a little while and then came to Reading.
And
where
then
he
came
really
to Reading, yes.
Made his, you know, that really made his career. That's where we create World Cup winners here at Reading FC. Right, and I'll do another emergency fact then, just in case. Well, I think we're safe with that one. But
yes,
Well, this is a more recent one. We'll like this. And that is that Arsenal hold the record for consecutive clean sheets in the Champions League. Back in 2006, when they reached the final, they managed 10 games and a total of 995 minutes without conceding a goal.
Nice. Until we lost the final. So that's a depressing end to it, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you think you'll see in your lifetime Arsenal lift the Champions League? You're a very young lad, so you'd hope so.
Yeah, I will put it out there now. I think we could win it this season. I think we could. I'm not saying we will, but I think we could. And I wouldn't be surprised if within the next 5 years, if Mikel Arteta stays, if we keep sort of making the signings that he's made, then I could see us winning it, yeah.
Well, for the record, we're recording this podcast in 2022.
And, 2024.
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's what confused me. I was like, what?
No, we are recording 2024. So anyone, if you're listening into the future, who knows? Maybe Ollie was right. Maybe he was wrong. right. Well, anyway, speaking of teams, it's everyone's favourite part of the podcast. In fact, it's so famous it could just be the podcast, to be honest, and every episode could be about 10-15 minutes long, but that's not how we do things. It's time for Ollie Young to pick his five-a-side team. We'll call them young boys. considering were you not really freaked out when you saw that there was a real team called Young Boys? Because you see, when I was younger, wrestling was very big, and I used to play the old SmackDown games on the PlayStation, and I created a wrestler called Sami Zayny, which was me essentially with a hat on, and would sort of come out to the ring dancing. And then about 15 years later, there was a real wrestler called Sami Zayn with a hat on who looked a bit like me, who used to dance down to the ring, and I really, really freaked out.
I thought they copied me. I'm not going to lie. When I was like 7, I was like, hang on, this isn't... They've clearly copied me. That's the only explanation to this, that some these rich people have heard me. And they've... Because I remember there was that. And when I was a kid, I was like, they should make minis, but a sports car. And I saw one. And then I was like, they've copied me again. In my head, I was like, start writing these ideas down, because people just keep stealing them from me.
You're like, they got it all wrong. They haven't got Henry in there at all. No wonder they're doing terribly in the Europa League.
If they haven't got two defenders.
Well, look, it's time to put your manager. So first of all, first question is, what is your management attire? What are you going for? More formal, more relaxed? What are you thinking?
I'd probably do a smart casual. I think I've been influenced a bit too much by the sort of the big managers of today, the Guardiolas, the Klopps and the Artetas. They don't really do formal. They don't come in a suit unless it's an FA Cup final, then they should, obviously, but usually they're sort of a nice sort of smart jumper and maybe some smart trousers. I do have, it's not with me, but I do have a jacket. You probably saw it. I was probably wearing it the other day. I do have a jacket that's very, it looks very 90s football, like I look like I probably put the cones out for a big manager or something, or like I look like entourage for someone. Like I come out and I help them out. But I think it's got to be a bit of smart casual. It can't be too informal.
Nice. Okay. And I don't know how familiar you are with Islington itself, but is there an area you want to play this five-a-side game? It can be anywhere in the world. Any particular courts or pitches you're particularly fond of?
I'm not familiar with Islington at all, so I've been to the Emirates a few times, but that's about it.
Well, that's fine. We'll cut the Emirates in half, put up a little temporary cage, and we'll play in there.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah,
that's excellent. So now it's time to pick your team. You're not under. You don't have to pick goalies, defenders. It can be a team of attackers, a team of defenders, whatever you want. But either way, we'll start at the back if needs be.
Yes.
So who's your first selection?
So I haven't done any centre backs. If I was going to do like a centre back, it probably would be like a Saliba or someone like that, because I do love Saliba. In goal for me, I've put, I think people got to remember I'm young.
Yeah.
So I've put Aaron Ramsdale.
Fuck's sake. He's put Aaron Ramsdale in goal. No,
I love him.
Yeah. He's not even in the first team. He might come and play for you, to be fair. He's not got anything to do.
First of all, he's got the free time, like you say. He's also... he's the only... One thing I'll say about Mikel Arteta, he's awful with goalkeepers, because we have had four fantastic goalkeepers since he's been at the club. And he's not dealt with any of them right in any way. And... I could, there's a few goalkeepers. Obviously, you know, Jens Lehmann's the obvious, you know, David Seaman, probably more obvious, but I don't remember David Seaman. The only thing I remember about Jens Lehmann was he came back on a temporary move when Almunia was injured and then got sent off. So for me, I don't have any good connections with Jens Lehmann. I hated Almunia. Fabianski was the guy who conceded two goals in an FA Cup final for me. Szczęsny's the only keeper when I was a kid who I kind of liked, and then he buggered off to Juventus. So for me, the only one who I sort of think of with fond memories is Aaron Ramsdale, because he was kind of like the first goalkeeper who I felt like fans actually kind of liked again. And I've been very confused with the way he's been treated. I'm beginning to get around the idea that David Raya probably is better, but I don't get why we did so much sort of PR around him re-signing just to put him on the bench. It's sort of... very strange. He did an interview with David Seaman. We did a big video about it. And he's just now on the bench. So he's going to be playing in my five-a-side team instead to get ready for when Rye gets injured.
Oh, okay. So that's a good start, Aaron Ramsdale. And then who have you got next? Have you got any defenders in the team?
No, I don't have any defenders. Again, just because sort of my memory of defenders is not... Obviously, Mertesacker and Koscielny, they were good for a while. I think Arsenal fans do overrate them a little bit. I think we forget that they are two players who played in an era where if we went away to Chelsea or something, we were going to lose 6-0. Like, we weren't going to... Every time we'd be like, this is the time. And then 20 minutes in, I'd be like, Dad, turn off the telly. This is not... this isn't fun. If I were to put a defender, he'd be like, probably, like I said, William Saliba or someone like that. Just because, again, he's younger than me and he's one of the best defenders in the world. And it's very confusing. But instead, I've done two midfielders. So I've done Declan Rice.
Okay.
Purely because, in my memories, Declan Rice is genuinely, potentially the best footballer I've ever seen play for Arsenal. He is so good. If you see him in person... or even just if you watch Arsenal, there's so much stuff that he's just... He's not the flashiest player, but he's so much... defensively, he's so good. He reads the game so well. And also, you can just tell that he really likes Arsenal. You can just... you can see it. And he's genuinely probably one of the best players I've ever seen. Because obviously, I never saw Vieira. So for me, the best defensive midfielders I ever saw were Alex Song, Francis Coquelin, and Mathieu Flamini. It's not the grandest selection. You know, Alex Song's probably the best there, and he openly went to Barcelona and was like, I know I'm not going to play, but you're going to pay me loads of money, so I'll happily stay.
Yeah,
so like, So I've got Declan Rice, and then next to him, I've got someone who probably would be surpassed fairly soon by players now, but was my favourite player growing up, which was Santi Cazorla.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I absolutely loved Santi Cazorla just because he was small. He could use both feet. He was amazing on the ball. He would... the goal he scored in the FA Cup final against Hull, the free kick, was amazing. And he was just one of my favourite players growing up. Nowadays, he'll probably be surpassed by like Ødegaard or someone like that. But Cazorla's definitely on there for me. And then... in terms of my attackers, I've gone with Henry.
Obviously. Okay. Yeah.
Because even though I never got to watch him much, I still loved him. Like the goal against Leeds was enough.
Absolutely fine.
Someone who never saw him in his prime, the goal against Leeds was enough to be like, this guy clearly is the best ever.
Yeah.
I've got Bukayo Saka as well, because he's probably the first player other than like Jack Wilshere and Theo Walcott. I mean, I don't remember Theo Walcott when he first came into the team, but obviously I remember Jack Wilshere, and Wilshere obviously got injured a lot. But Saka's the first player where, for me, as a fan, I've seen him go from someone who played like a Europa League game, scored, then started against Man United ahead of Nicola Pepe, who had spent £72 million on, and then over time has just become one of the best players in the league and in the world. And he's just, yeah, he's, and again, he's younger than me, and I hate that. I hate that there's 21 and 22 year olds, and I, yeah, and they're just better than me at everything.
Mate, trust me, when you get into your 30s, football looks very scary when there are people like over a decade younger than you. I think football really ages men, actually. It's like, you don't have to be that old for suddenly to start looking at England players and then be younger than you. It's very scary because you spend so much of your childhood looking up to these adults and suddenly they're all kids. But that is a fine team, mate. It's a fine team. And it is very interesting. As I said, this part of the podcast, we're not looking for the all-time greatest five Arsenal players of all time.
No.
We want five players that mean something to you. We've got this young fan on. It's now time for the podcast to look to the youth of tomorrow. All these old Maisie Adam, Nathan Catons and all that, they're on the way out. It's the new generation. Yeah, new generation coming out. You know, these youngsters here, that like Ollie, doesn't want to be on live at the Apollo. He wants to be on an Apollo performing in Mars. You know, that's the future.
I want to be live at the Apollo. I want to be on, you know, TikTok. And I want to... Why would I do live at the Apollo, one of the most prestigious things in the world, when I could just have clips of me being like, what do you do? Drug dealer. Yeah, that's what I want.
That is modern comedy summed up in about 15 seconds there, actually, isn't it? Well, look,
that's what I want.
Well, look, let's take a look again. So that's a great team. So we've got Aaron Ramsdale in goal. We have got no defenders. Boo! Sammy loves defenders, but never mind. It's fine. And then we got Declan Rice, of course.
Yeah.
At the time of recording this podcast, still quite new to the club. I'm sure that's been raging some West Ham fans there. But still. And then we've got Cazorla in the middle.
Santi Cazorla.
Cazorla in the middle. And then we've got Thierry Henry, of course. I think everybody would have Henry in there. And it is great in a way that he had that lovely second run at the club, which he didn't play many games at all.
No, he played about 10, I think.
Yeah, I think like 10 games and then 10 or 11 games. And then, but it was all about that moment, that goal. It was just so smooth. It was beautiful. Wenger was, that was the start, I think, around that season of Wenger out. And he ran straight to Wenger and hugged him. And it was just this, really, really good moment. I remember watching it. And then, of course, you've got Saka in there as well. The future of English football, the future of Arsenal. And that is your team.
Yes, yes. They will. There's no defence.
There's no
defence.
Everyone,
they're just relying on Rice, cleaning everything up.
Well, there you go. He can pull into that position. It all works fine. Well, look, Ollie, thanks for coming on, mate. It's been great fun.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And if people do want to see you, you know, on TikTok with subtitles, every word you say, asking people what they do for a living, and then, I don't know, berating them for their life choices, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, well, not sadly, quite happily for me, I'm not on TikTok, but I am on Instagram at Ollie_YoungComedian. That is OLLIE, not OLLY. Ollie_YoungComedian, and I'm also on Twitter. I will not call it X. I'm on Twitter at I think it's Ollie_Young_4. That's if you want to see me have purely just football based opinions and occasionally tweet Reece James and he absolutely ruins me. So that is where you can find me if you want to find me.
Well, mate, it's been fantastic to have you on. I really appreciate it, dude. And Ollie is, very early days into his comedy career and doing very, very well. And I've booked you at one of my pro nights. You did very, very well. And if you see his name on a poster near you, and if you're in Bath, which is where you're based currently,
yes,
you perform quite a lot around there. So do go and see him.
Yes, please do. Thank you very much for having me.
A funny old game.
Comedians Talking About Football.
A huge thank you once again to Ollie Young for coming on to the podcast. Really appreciate it, mate. Do go follow him on the socials and all that malarkey. You can see him most often on the Bath comedy scene. There's some great nights there run by Sam Hawkins. Pint and a Laugh, which is a weekly comedy show, and he performs there quite a bit. So do go down and see him and all the other acts there as well. I think I'm headlining there in a couple of months, but you might be listening to this in a few years' time when Ollie Young is Ollie Old. Anyway, look, if you enjoyed this episode, why not go back and listen to some previous episodes if you're an Arsenal fan? As I said, we've had some great previous episodes, including Jamie DeSouza and Jacob Hawley, who's now doing the kickoff with True Geordie and all that, watching all the Arsenal games. We've got, in a couple of weeks' time, we've got Katie Price as well. No, not that one. The comedian Katie Price, a huge Arsenal fan as well. She is going to be coming on to talking about the Gunners as well. So we've also got, if you're not an Arsenal fan, you just enjoy comedians talking about football, we've got some great previous episodes as well. The likes of Josh Pugh have been on the show, Maisie Adam, we've got Bilal Zafar, we've got, as I said, Jacob Hawley, we've had Daniel Fitzhenry, we've had Nathan Caton, Davy Johns, loads of great guests. Look, go back, go listen to them, and why not subscribe as well for the future episodes, because we've got even more great guests coming up too. You can follow us on social media at ComTalkFootyPod. That's at ComTalkFootyPod on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really, really enjoyed the episode, why not leave us a review online on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, a rating on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We really appreciate that. Or at the very least, why not just tell a friend about the podcast? As for me, I've been your comedian and long-suffering Reading FC fan, Sam Michael. I will catch you next time for more comedians talking about football. David Hoare, play the theme tune.
Football. Soccer. At the end of the day. Football. Soccer. It's a funny old game.
It's a game of joie.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.